Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, as we've been reporting throughout the programme, the emergency G7 meeting about Afghanistan has wrapped up since we came on air. President Biden is expected to address the media in the next short while and is anticipated to confirm that the US will leave Kabul by this day next week. And that is the deadline you've been hearing all day, August the 31st. Today's G7 meeting followed the extraordinary news that the CIA director, William J. Burns, held a secret meeting yesterday in Kabul with the Taliban leader, Abdul Ghani Baradar. I'm going to get the reaction now from John Brennan, who himself served as a CIA director from 2013 to 2017 under President Obama. John, you're very welcome to the programme once again.
Well, thank you, Cormac. Good to be with you.
Your reaction, first of all, to the news that President Biden seems almost incredibly, in a way, to be sticking to the August 31st deadline to leave Kabul.
Well, I think he's sticking to it as a way to put additional pressure on the folks on the ground to get as many people out of harm's way as quickly as possible. I wouldn't preclude the possibility that that date could slip, but I think it would need to be with the coordination of the Taliban. And that's why I think we've had some of these discussions that have been taking place, not just on the ground between the tactical commanders of the U.S. military and the Taliban, but also the recent visit of Bill Burns to go out and meet with Abu Ghani Baradar.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised, John, to hear that a senior CIA director, somebody I think who followed you, was your successor, had that meeting with Baradar?
No, I think it was a smart move. First of all, Bill Burns has extensive experience working on Afghanistan throughout the course of his career. Secondly, he is one of our country's most accomplished and experienced diplomats and negotiators. And third, he also has the expertise, as well as all of the insight that the CIA has gained over the last several decades on Afghanistan that he can bring to bear in these discussions. Also, I don't think the Biden administration wanted to have a current diplomat meet with the Taliban because I don't think they want to send any signal that they're prepared to recognize the Taliban as the legitimate government in Afghanistan. So I think Bill Burns is out there to try to see what type of flexibility the Taliban might have as far as allowing maybe an extension of the timeline to evacuate people. But also, I think, to send a message that if the Taliban decides to do anything that is going to derail this effort, that they're going to pay a heavy price for it.
But is Bill Burns, in reporting back to Washington, in terms of flexibility on extending the evacuation deadline, flexibility nil? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know what he is saying. But again, I think the discussions with the Taliban are going to be taking place privately. And I know a lot of people want to hear whether or not the United States is going to extend that deadline. The Taliban has already said that it's a red line, but that doesn't mean that there are not ongoing discussions to see whether there's any flexibility there or not. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have more indications of this in the coming days because it will take the United States military several days to be able to pull everybody out of that airport.
And it's an issue for the Irish mission, which has just gone in the last couple of hours to Kabul as well. Obviously, a much smaller mission, but very urgent and of huge importance, obviously, for those who wish to be evacuated from an Irish point of view. If there is only to be a week to evacuate its citizens, it makes the mission a lot more urgent and hasty. But to look at it from the outside, John, it seems that President Biden's choice or equation here was to evacuate more people by extending the deadline and risk conflict with the Taliban, risk that response that would be provoked, as they said, and that he decided, no, I don't want to risk the conflict.
Well, again, at the current time, it looks as though he is going to hold firm to that August 31st departure date. But I think they're going to continue to evaluate the situation, Biden's national security team, in the coming days. And they may have to make a decision to extend that. But as you point out, what they don't want to do is to now reignite some type of open conflict with the Taliban, because that violence is something they tried to avoid at all costs. Mm-hmm.
Would you accept that the US is looking increasingly weak as this conflict goes on, weak in terms of its withdrawal, and looking like a puny weakling now, succumbing to the ultimatum, it would seem, from the Taliban to get out within the month?
Well, I think there were a series of misjudgments and missteps that the United States made in the exit from Afghanistan that were costly. And the Biden administration can turn back the clock. So they have to operate with the current conditions as they are. But I think we've also seen the demonstration of U.S. military capabilities, logistics power, the opportunity to remove tens of thousands of people from Afghanistan safely and securely. So I do think that there is a question in the minds of a lot of people around the globe whether or not the United States is retreating from any of its global responsibilities. I'd like to think that we will not, but also the exit from Afghanistan is something that President Biden has advocated for many, many years. And so I think he was impatient to get the U.S. military forces out because he believes that it's a failed operation standpoint of staying any longer.
Yeah, and you can argue the toss on that one, as you have been doing in the media and among politicians in the U.S. Either way, I suppose. But if the U.S. collapse in Afghanistan, John, is to be personified in any one person, that is in the person of the Taliban leader, which Bill Burns met, Abdul Ghani Baradar, because 11 years ago, there was a CIA operation which captured Baradar and put him in prison for 8 years. And here now, not quite cap in hand, but here comes a director from the CIA asking Baradar to extend the deadline. It is some climb down, isn't it?
Well, yes, but I think we've seen some of these twists and turns in international developments over the years. And so the situation has changed dramatically over the last 11 years. We've had three different U.S. administrations in power. We also have had ups and downs in Afghanistan over the time frame. And yes, Baradar was in Pakistani prison for an extended period of time, but unfortunately, the Taliban has become ascendant on the battlefield and now has pushed the Afghan government out. And so, again, speaking practically, this is what the United States has to do, to engage with those individuals who have military sway on the ground there, because the primary objective right now is to get as many people out as safely and securely as possible, and engaging with the Taliban is the best way to do that.
Yeah, and that's proving to be increasingly difficult, even as today goes on, John. I'm sure you will have monitored developments, because the Taliban gave another press conference at which they said they don't want the Afghans to leave, the highly educated Afghan population, the doctors, the engineers that they'll need, they say, to rebuild their country, and that they're stopping people going to Hamid Karzai Airport, and they're forbidding Afghans to leave, and they want the US to stop giving the message that they can be evacuated. Now, this seems to me, I don't know if you'd agree, this seems to me to be the Taliban turning the screw here.
Well, I think the Taliban is reacting to the situation on the ground as well. I think they're of mixed minds. They don't want to engage with the US military. I think they want the US military out as quickly as possible. They will say things to resonate with certain audiences, the US audience, as well as the Afghan people. And quite frankly, I don't believe that the Taliban know what they're going to do yet, looking out over the coming weeks and months and years, because they're going to have to make some decisions based on developments on the ground. So I also think that there are disagreements within the Taliban. It has tended to be a rather disciplined organization, but yet there are individuals who have extremist views and people who have more moderate and practical views. So I think this is a very dynamic situation, and I think we're going to be seeing it playing out on the ground in Afghanistan in the coming months.
The Taliban might know what it's going to do, but international powers like the US have a huge dilemma, John, don't they, in terms of what to do with the Taliban? Because do they recognise them as a legitimate regime now in situ in Afghanistan? And if so, what was the last 20 plus years for? And if they don't recognise their legitimacy as the government of Afghanistan, does it risk opening up Afghanistan as a breeding ground yet again for terrorism from which a terrorist attack could be launched in the United States? What should the US administration do in that regard?
Well, I think the situation in Afghanistan is going to stay messy for quite some time to come. The international community and the United States has some levers over the Taliban, such as international assistance, also access to the Afghanistan's monies overseas. The Taliban now is inheriting a country in 2021 that is much different than when they left in 2001. There are a lot of Afghan civil servants who run the waterworks and the schools and other types of things that are used to getting paid by the government. If that money is now being held up and individuals are not getting those types of monies that they are due, the Taliban is going to have its hands full. And yes, it might resort to very oppressive and violent tactics to suppress opposition. But at the same time, if it is serious about governing Afghanistan, it's going to need to have some external support that will allow it to run the country effectively. Mm-hmm. But this is not going to be easy for them. It's not going to be easy for the United States and the West to deal with it. So I think we're going to just experience a messy situation for years to come.
And finally on that one, even that comes with a dilemma, doesn't it, for Western governments? The suspension of humanitarian aid or assistance, financial assistance to Afghanistan right now. We spoke to the former US National Security Advisor John Bolton on this program last week. And from memory, I think he said when I asked if aid should be suspended, he said, I wouldn't give the Taliban air to breathe. And he would suspend aid. What's your opinion on this?
Well, I think this has to be a balancing act. I would not endorse providing any support to the Taliban. But at the same time, I wouldn't want Afghanistan to turn into an even greater humanitarian disaster. And so I think the United States, the West, really have to be looking at what they can do to alleviate the suffering of the Afghan people without building up the power, the support, you know, for the Taliban. It's going to be a very difficult balance to strike, but what we can't do is try to starve the country of Afghanistan and penalize the Afghan people simply because the Taliban now has taken over.
That is almost an impossible balance. But great analysis as always. John Brennan, former CIA director, thank you very much indeed for joining us in the program.